Simmons lobs it for Lee. The pass is knocked away. Harris gets it. Heaves a desperation three. Might have been partially blocked by Ray. It's well short, and that's your ball game. TCU ends up winning it by two. How was K-State women last night? I've heard that guy's voice before. He's pretty dang annoying. Need to get that guy off the air. Especially when K-State women lose. No good luck there. K-State women lose last night to TCU 54-52. And the K-State men lose last night as well as they fall at Texas Tech by a final score of 69-62 in the K-State game. Freshman sensation Aoki Lee with 22 points and 17 rebounds. She had a double-double 30 seconds into the second quarter. And she also had six block shots last night. But she didn't do much in the second half because TCU did a good job of defending her. And K-State was unable to get her the ball in spots where she wanted it. She only had 6 points in the second half. And the K-State women really, really struggled shooting threes. They were 1 of 13 last night from three. And TCU was 2 of 14. So combined 3 of 27 from three. There wasn't a lot of offensive explosion last night in that women's game. I was a little disappointed. I mean, some of the fun calls are the three-point calls, and K-State only made 1 3. And in the first 6 minutes of the game, the two women's teams combined to shoot 3 of 21.
Yeah.
Not a lot of excitement there.
I saw the first quarter score was 12-6, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably not all that fun.
No, it really wasn't. K-State women were up 12, and then they're up 12 in the third quarter, and then went to an offensive drought, and then had a chance down 2:11 seconds to go. And Lee is at the line, and she's a good foul shooter, and I'm thinking, all right, we're going overtime maybe. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And then she missed the first. I'm like, okay. Then she made the second, and TCU made one out of two. So now K-State has the ball. They advance it on the timeout. That's new. They put in, I think, last year. So 6.4 to go, and they've got it right in front of us on press row. And I'm thinking, okay, this will be awesome. Get a game-tying shot sent overtime, win it with a three, which seemed to be far-fetched because nobody was making threes. Yeah. And then there's balls deflected, goes out of bounds. They have 2.4, and all they get is a desperation three-point fadeaway heave. And it wasn't too exciting because it didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was exciting for the TCU women as they beat K-State 54-52. And the K-State women now, it's going to be really, really difficult to make the NCAA tournament. They really needed the win last night and put together some wins. And now very difficult. And then, of course, they want to get the WNIT. They're 12-12, so they need to win some games just to get into that tournament.
Yeah.
So that was a tough loss for them last night. The K-State men we'll get to in a moment. There's is it controversy or not? Because it appears that those media members have misconstrued something that Cartier Jada said. And there are other people that have now come to defense of Cartier Jada saying, well, I think it's pretty clear when you look at the video what he actually said last night. But him and Bruce Weber appeared to get into it. Bruce Weber slammed his stool down. That might have been just the way the game was going. Maybe it was because of Jada. We'll hear Bruce Weber come a little bit. You don't know for sure if he's referring to Jada when he talks about being coachable, this and that.
Yeah.
You don't know.
No.
I mean, you can try to connect the dots. And there's been a lot of controversy with Jada ever since Fran Franchella made his comments nationally, although people close to the program already knew there were problems with Cartier Jada. Riley Gates was with us the other day, said some of the players are playing rec ball, which is weird this time of year during the season.
Yeah.
So that was something he told us the other day. That somebody told him. It'll be interesting to see what happens the rest of the year for the K-State men, and we'll address that coming up in just a moment. But first, local sports. We've got two athletes of the week, and they both hit a milestone this week.
Yes, Beloit senior Vincent Pollen and St. John's junior Lauren Dubert have been named our NCKSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. And as we just said, they both hit career milestones, surpassing the 1,000-point mark in scoring here over the past week. Pollen scored 11 points Friday night to get to 999, and then with his first basket of the game on Tuesday in Beloit's 60-49 win over Sacred Heart, he did pass that 1,000-point barrier. So Beloit again winning it by 11, and Pollen led the way with 21 points, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He's now at 1,020 total points and averaging 15 a game this season, shooting 45% from the floor, 40% from three, and 82% at the free throw line for Beloit here this season. Dubert has been the leader all season for St. John's Tipton. Lauren on Monday night in the 55-25 win at Lincoln passed the 1,000-point mark with a three-pointer in the third quarter of that victory. She added another 15 points in St. John's Tipton's 50-29 win over Pike Valley at home on Tuesday, putting her career total at 1,023 now through her almost junior year. Almost finished up here. So she's the third member of her family to pass that 1,000-point plateau. Her brothers Trey and Davis both passed that. Davis actually past the 1,500-point mark in his career, and Dubert now averaging 20.5 points, 5 steals, and 4 rebounds a game this year. A team-high 32 made three, shooting 43% from the floor and 87% from the free-throw line. So congratulations to Vincent Pollen and Lauren Dubert, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. If you want to read more about them, you can check it out at NCKSSports.com. Also, a reminder to everybody, we have our high school basketball locker room chats coming up tonight on Katy Country 94, as we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas this evening on our high school basketball locker room chats around 5:15.
All right. Regional wrestling, look forward to that coming up tomorrow and Saturday. Hopefully a lot of area wrestlers make it to the state tournament out in Hayes next Friday and Saturday. We'll have reports throughout the day and through the basketball coverage tomorrow and then throughout the day on Saturday. And then the 1A regional basketball brackets were released yesterday by Keisha.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, thank you. All of them can be found online at NCKSports.com. You can find every matchup. Osborne boys do have the number one seed at the Rock Hills Regional.
Really?
Yes. They had that wrapped up quite some time.
They're undefeated, number one team in the state. Yes. I'm shocked that they'd be the number one seed at a regional. Stunning.
Yeah. Osborne boys, number one, as we said. Rock Hill's the number four seed. They'll be hosting Logan Monday night at 7 o'clock. Thunder Ridge is at number two seed Northern Valley on Monday at 7. And then Lakeside's at home against Stockton. Lakeside girls and boys both hosting Stockton in the first round. So those games will be on Tuesday, 7:30 for the boys. Girls will play at 6 o'clock Tuesday night in the first round of that regional hosting Stockton. Osborne hosts Northern Valley in girls action. The number two seed Osborne at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And Rock Hill's the number six seed is at number three seed Logan Tuesday as well. And Thunder Ridge girls undefeated are the number one seed in that 1A regional there at Rock Hills. Lincoln regional, St. John's Tipton has the number one seed in both of those, so they won't play until later on in the week at the Lincoln regional on both the boys and girls side. The Lincoln boys are the number four seed. They host Lynn. St. John's Tipton will play the winner of that game coming up next week. And then the Lincoln girls are at Tescott in the 4-5 matchup Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and St. John's Tipton would play the winner of that Tescott-Lincoln girls game. So that's a look at the immediate area school. Sylvan Lucas next week on the girls' side will be hosting on Tuesday lacrosse at 7 o'clock, and the Sylvan Lucas boys are hosting the Victoria Knights at 7 o'clock on Monday. They're part of the Central Plains sub-state in Class 1A, or I should say Central Plains Regional in Class 1A. So, again, all of that is right at your fingertips. You can find it all at nckssports.com.
All right, the K-State men losing last night at Texas Tech. There's a bigger story to this game we'll get to in a moment, but K-State loses down 26-15. It's kind of the same story. Get down in the first half, then battle back, make it competitive, but not enough gas in the tank to finish it. They battled. Antonio Gordon, I thought, played well. Xavier Sneed played well and battled. I listened to the radio broadcast coming back from Manhattan last night, and Stan thought that Xavier put it all out there last night, and that's what you want from a senior. A key part of the game, no question, was when it's 44-42 and K-State, Cartier Jada gets a steal and he has a breakaway dunk and all you got to do is dunk it and you tie the game. And you can say showboat a little bit. He misses the dunk and Texas Tech come down, hit a three, timeout K-State, and the game was never the same after that. You go from tying the game with a dunk to being down 5 on the road at Texas Tech. Those are things you can't do.
No.
If you're going to win. And bad teams, and that's what K-State is. I hate to say it, but it is. I mean, they're 9-17. That's a bad team. Yeah, they could have won a few games here and there. They didn't. They're a bad team. And bad teams find ways to lose. Bad teams make those type of plays.
Yes.
And that's what they did. Is Cartier Jada the reason K-State lost last night? No.
No.
Not at all. K-State's just not very good right now. There are some chemistry issues. There's no question about that. Last night in the ball game, Cartier Jada and Bruce Weber appeared to get into it going into a timeout. And Bruce Weber you know, slammed the stool to the ground, which is clearly the worst thing we've ever seen with a stool in college basketball this year in the state of Kansas. Of course, I'm referring back to Sylvia DeSosa, who didn't do nearly as much damage to the stool as Bruce Weber did. He held it above his head, but he didn't slam it on anybody or anything. Coach Weber frustrated there. So then there were some people that put some stuff out there trying to say what they thought Cartier Jada said, but Cartier Jada has addressed it. Let me go to Twitter here, and this is what Cartier Jada put on social media. Now, remember when him and Bruce Weber got into a little bit of an animated discussion, whatever you want to call it, argument, Jada did go back in the game. There are a lot of people that are a little bit off on the details there, and I've seen this as well, and Juan probably didn't see the game, are going off of people on social media that don't give you the full story. Jada went back into the game, and he got a steal, or he got a layup to cut the game to two, the lead to two. Mm-hmm. He got the steal and then the dunk that he blew, and then the other way, and that's when he was benched after that for the rest of the game. So he was not benched after the it's not an altercation. It's they didn't know physical things happen. It was
a verbal altercation.
A verbal altercation, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
I think altercation as a, you know, I think of physical, but whatever. Each has their own definition of it, I guess. But here's what Cartier Jada said on social media. And I quote, "I just wanted to clear the confusion and apologize for making it seem as though my coach and I had an altercation. Coach wanted me to take advantage of the switch instead of shooting, and all I said was that I'm going to make the next shot. Coach knows I'm a competitor, and I give my all, and all he was doing was challenging me, and that's how I responded. I was raised right, and I've never cursed at Coach Webb or any former coach for challenging me. I would love if this negative storyline could go away. Ema tatted on the skin, and it ain't for no reason. I've always been about K-State." End of quote from Cartier Jada. So what do you make of all of this, Dusty? Well, actually, I'll let you hear what Bruce Weber had to say after the game in his post-game about buying in. Is this a shot at Cartier Jada? Is he talking about Jada? Or is this just simply Weber talking as a whole with the team that not everybody's on the same page?
And then we talked about being coachable, and I think for the most part, most of them are coachable, and they got, that's your attitude, it's your body language, it's buying in, it's staying together as a group, because we got to have coaches on the court also. That's important.
What do you think?
I just don't feel like he would say that unprompted like that if it wasn't about Cartier.
He wouldn't talk about
leaders on the court as freshmen. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the guys that need to buy in are the upperclassmen that haven't done that yet.
Right.
The freshmen, I don't think, he's always had positive things all year to say about the freshmen.
Right.
In fact, he called Dejuan Gordon a leader earlier this season. He said, and I don't know if the other upperclassmen like that, but too bad, basically.
Right.
And, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that that was not targeted at Cartier Jada.
Well, I don't think it's Sneed, because Sneed
Sneed had a great game. And he's
played better lately. And Mayween still battles, although Mayween is what he is. So to me, process of elimination seems to be pointed at Cartier.
And it's the guy that you didn't let back out after he missed a dunk.
Right, which, by the way,
a windmill dunk that, didn't put him back in the game after that.
Yeah, well, what was it, 9:46 to go when that happened? So he sat the last nine and a half minutes.
Yeah, it was quite a while. Yeah,
yeah, it was. That seemed...
He ended up playing 26 minutes, but sat the last nine or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was kind of like the last straw almost. Like, Bruce was like, I'm done dealing with this tonight.
Yeah, Listen, I'm not going to try to, when the TV's not, when they don't have a microphone in the huddle, I'm not going to try to figure out what Cartier said. I'm not trying to read lips. I'm not trying to do that.
See, and that's one of the problems with some
NFL
media members that was done.
You see those NFL bad lip reading videos?
Right.
You can make anything sound like anything.
Sure.
If you're just reading lips, and if you look at it, it can look like they said anything.
Right.
I got a direct message before that media member you're talking about put that out, and one of the people in my direct message said that that's what he said too, and I'm like, I don't know, I can't.
You got to know that's what he said.
Yeah.
And when you put something out there, when you don't know for sure, especially in this day and age in social media, I will say it's unfair to Cartier Jada.
It is. I don't disagree.
Or to
with
any
that at
to
all.
Any athlete or coach.
Yeah.
Unless you heard it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can really, unless you heard it, I don't know how you can, without a shadow of a doubt, put that on social media and say that's what Cartier said, when other people now go, well, you go back and you can totally tell that he didn't say something that bad. So how can some person and the people in the media go look at it and go, clearly he didn't say what other media people said? Well, here's an idea. Maybe you need to hear it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have any problem with people, you know, calling out Cartier Jada.
No,
because
no.
It's been an issue all season. And whether he wants to say he's got Emaut tatted on his skin, whether Bruce Weber says Fran Fraschilla was completely wrong with right. what he said about him, we have eyes.
Yes.
And maybe he's doing the right things in practice. I don't know. But as far as games are concerned, we have eyes and can see that Cartier Jada has been playing a lot of selfish basketball this season.
Well, the dunk was selfish.
I got a buddy that I went to college with that's not even K-State related or anything, mm-hmm. and he was tweeting about it, how selfish it was, mm-hmm. and you want to be a showboat, you could have tied the game, and now mm-hmm. you're down by five because you decided to windmill instead of just either regular dunk right. or just lay it up and in. So I get that part of it, and if you want to, you know, if there's a media member or anybody or a fan or whatever says that Cartier Jada is a cancer, you know, maybe some people won't use that word, but I have no problem with that word because mm-hmm. if that's what it is, that's what it is. But I don't know what he said, so I'm not going to comment on that part of it.
In fairness to Cartier Jada, if he makes that showboat dunk, nobody's talking about him
exactly.
showboating. I mean, he did the same thing
against KU last year.
Exactly, yeah. Nobody had a problem. In fact, everybody used it as a poster, and everybody loved it, but what if he misses that dunk?
Yeah, and that's what Bruce Weber said in the post game. He's like, I was wishing he would have just went up and dunked
right.
it, and then Cartier's over here saying, I thought about going between the legs and all that stuff, you know, just joking around with it because they had won the game, and that was basically the dagger that definitely put it away. But, yeah, it was the same dunk.
And, by the way, Cartier Jada is not a lot different than a lot of athletes that want to show off and dunk and make a great play and get on SportsCenter's top 10. I mean, I'll defend him to a point to that, but when you do that in a game, especially if it's close or in doubt, you better be sure you can make it. And that's the problem yesterday. I mean, you're down two. You go in for an easy dunk. All the momentum's on your side, and you're tied with 9.5 minutes to go. Instead, what happened was, and I could hear it on the radio broadcast, he missed the dunk, and all of a sudden the crowd got excited. And remember, they're in Lubbock.
Yeah.
And then Moretti hits the three, and Chris Beard's encouraging the fans to go nuts, and the place is going crazy when it should have been a tie game, and instead you're down five, and all of a sudden everybody's against you, and the crowd's going nuts, and they woke up from their slumber.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And you can, as a K-State fan, understand how this season's gone.
Yes.
That's ball game.
Yo, yeah, it felt
it's
like.
It's over. Yeah, I mean, and I know they fought back and tried to get back with, but they never, you know, got back within two.
No.
But as you're watching that and seeing it unfold, and I didn't watch the whole game, but I was watching at that point, you know, a little bit before the whole blow up on the bench, I was watching, and yeah, it's like, that's it. That's a wrap on this one.
Yeah. There's no doubt problems with K-State, not only with the record, but the chemistry, and I think it's safe to say that Jada, I mean, do you see any way Jada's back next year? I just don't see how Jada comes back next year.
Yeah, he's either Bruce Weber's going to say, let's make way for some other people, or he's just going to be like, I'm going to go.
Well, remember,
no,
you know, Marcus
happens.
Foster, and then they parted ways, and, you know, this is a different situation, but still, there are some similarities.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar in the fact that it looks like it's too far gone.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll continue to follow that story the rest of the season. I guess that creates a little drama for K-State. Otherwise, what would we really
talk about?
Just every game, down to double digits first half, battle back, good compete, fight hard, yay, and then lose. All right, Wichita State, they are back in action tonight, and they're looking for their 20th win of the season. They're 19-6, 7-5 in conference play. They'll host South Florida, and Greg Marshall, you know, he's kind of done talking about the NCAA tournament. That didn't work out so well before when he mentioned it.
I'm not going to say, hey, you got to win this game. You got to win this game. This is a must-win game. They're all must-win games, you know. If you want to assure that you're in the NCAA tournament, but I'm not going to talk about that with them anymore. That didn't work so well. We're going to talk about getting better. And we're already better than we were last year. Didn't we win 17 last year going into the conference tournament? So we're at 19 with 6 to go. So there's been improvement. We will continue to work to, you know, get to 22, 23, 24, 25 wins. That'd be great. But every game upcoming, the rest of the year, I don't know who will play in the first round of the conference tournament, but more than likely it's going to be a tough game.
Tip time, 6:05 tonight, Coke Arena in Wichita. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network, Wichita State hosting South Florida. There was a big upset in college men's basketball last night.
3-2-1. There's your horn, and that's it. 88-66. State upsets Duke. The students rush the floor here at PNC Arena as the Pack gets its third win in the last four games and its first top 25 win.
Always a shame when Duke loses. Always a shame. Hey, especially when they lose by 22. 88-66. They get blitzed. NC State needing a win. They're on that proverbial bubble. So Duke falls, sixth-ranked team in the country, and the ACC back for up for grabs and muddles the standings a little bit there. The NFL, interesting story here. Some people just aren't very smart. NFL offensive tackle Greg Robinson and free agent wide receiver Quan Bray were arrested at the Sierra Blanca border checkpoint near the United States and Mexico border this week. They were in possession of 157 pounds of marijuana, which was stored inside several large duffel bags in the rear cargo area of a vehicle they were driving. 157 pounds of marijuana, according to the federal criminal complaint. As they're going through the checkpoint station, a U.S. Border Patrol canine sniffed it out. Probably easier for a canine to sniff out 157 pounds of marijuana instead of, say, a pound. And the 27-year-old Robinson, set to be an unrestricted free agent. He spent time with the Browns the last two seasons, so his NFL future is uncertain. Of course, he's looking at some federal time. Mm. Nate Newton got busted twice, if I remember right, for the Cowboys. He served 30 months in prison, former guard for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not the greatest decision there. And the thing, you look back at how much money this guy's made, maybe he blew all of his money. I don't know. He was a high draft pick, but he's been a disappointment as a player, but he still should have money. It's like, why would you even put yourself in that position? Not a bright move.
No, not even a little bit.
Not good. Not good at all. And your NFL career, you're 27. You still should have an NFL career ahead of you. NFL appears headed to 17 NFL games. Shorten the preseason to 3. Go to 17 NFL games. But here's the part that I'm okay with that if the player's okay with it. Fine. The 17-game schedule wouldn't come until 2021. Here's the part I have a bit of a problem with. The NFL is looking to expand the playoffs because apparently that's what everybody does now. And so they're talking about, and it sounds like it's been agreed to for a long time now, that they're going to add a team in each conference to the playoffs, which means you have 7 teams from the AFC, 7 teams from the NFC, which means only one team gets a bye.
Yeah.
And that's the number one overall seed in the playoffs. So if the new format was in play this past year, the Chiefs would not have had a bye.
Yeah.
They would have hosted the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 8-8, by the way. And the Rams would have gone to Green Bay, which would have been an interesting game, although the Rams were underachieving. I don't like the fact that I think the top two teams should get a bye. Or I do. I think only one team getting that advantage. I mean, what happens if you got two teams that are 14-2 and then one team doesn't get a bye?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times you see the top seeds have 13 or 14 wins. But if you wonder how it would impact this past season, let's just say that this new plan of having 17 regular season games and that they would have 7 teams in the playoffs on each conference, so 14 of your 32 teams. So now you're getting close to 50% of the teams are in, which the more teams are in the playoffs, the bigger the chance you have of a losing team, not necessarily, man, maybe a losing team, or a 500 team makes the playoffs, which you could say is watered down. I think Major League Baseball is okay the way it is, but they're talking about expanding. Okay, fine. I can live with that. But then allowing somebody to pick their team out of the pool of wild cards seems a little bit silly to me, but that's just my opinion. Maybe people love it. But had this rule been in place this past season, think about how it would have affected the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs would have hosted a wild card game against the 8-8 Steelers. The Ravens would have been the only team with a bye. And that would put the Chiefs in harm's way of injury and, of course, their franchise quarterback, Mahomes, playing an extra game. Now keep this in mind. The Chiefs went on and played the 49ers, right? The 49ers had the number one seed in the NFC. Under the new system, the Chiefs would have played one extra game than the Niners. Mm-hmm. So you wonder if the Chiefs would have had enough gas in the tank to beat the Niners, who played one less game, to make the Super Bowl. We'll never know from that standpoint. We have seen 6 seeds not get a first-round bye. A couple of them have won the Super Bowl. But most of the time, the teams win the Super Bowl, get a first-round bye. That's a high percentage.
Yeah.
So now you're basically making it harder for the two seeds to win the Super Bowl. And only two teams are going to have a distinct advantage, and that would be one in the AFC and one in the NFC. Do you like it or not?
I don't like it if my team's the number two seed.
Well, I don't like it for the Chiefs because you expect them to be at a one or a two
seed. Yeah. I'm kind of in between on it. I don't mind the fact that there's an extra incentive if you do get the number one seed.
Right.
But, again, like if you say, if there's two teams that are 13-3 or something and those teams never played head-to-head.
Right.
Then
tiebreaker
the
decides.
The tiebreaker and decides it, and then that doesn't seem like the best way to do that. But, right. I mean, if there's a head-to-head and there's 13-3 and one team beat the other, I get that.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of in between. I'm not going to get all up in arms about it or anything, but I like the format in the NFL the way it is right now. Let's just put it that way.
To me, it's not broke. There's no need to change it. I just said the other day, you know, people that whine about change, you know, I'm okay with change if it makes sense. I don't think they need it, but I'm okay if they do it. I just don't like that only one team in each conference gets a bye. I like the way it is right now in regards to two getting a bye. Now, you add a game to the schedule now, you have a better chance of having a winning, no losing team or 500 team making the playoffs because now you got a chance to be 9-8. There'll be no 8-8 teams anymore because you have 17 game season.
Yeah.
You can't be 8-8 unless you're 8-8-1 with a tie. So we'll continue to follow that. It sounds like we're going to have a 17 game regular season schedule, and they're talking about the CBA maybe getting taken care of as soon as next week. So preseason shorter, an extra regular season game. Why would they add a playoff team to each conference, Dusty?
Money.
Money. It'd be an extra playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. You wouldn't add any more weekends to the schedule. You just have a third game in each conference that first week.
Triple header on Saturday and Sunday. I'd watch it all.
There's yeah, sure.
No question about that.
I would too. I just hope my Chiefs are the number one seed and they're watching with me.
Yeah.
And you.